So then we turn to God, we turn to religion for solving these problems, to become prosperous, to become happy, you know, to get again in control of the situation and be happy in the situation. So then here, from that Dharma, comes Artha. From the religious process will come apocalypse. And Krishna is mentioning here that when he actually desires someone's welfare, then he'll take that away. So then we may think, well, what is happening here? This seems to be opposite to the reason why I took up the devotional process. I took up the process to gain money, to gain position, to gain knowledge, to gain all these different things. So now Krishna is going to take them away. So the difficulty comes is that if we actually sincere, he says here, if I desire his real welfare, means if he doesn't desire the real welfare, yes, when opulence is there, so many things are there, then that's not a sign of Krishna's actually favoring the living entity. Because if he goes on in this illusion, and whenever things go right for us, naturally we become proud, we become, you know, confident, we think, yes, everything is going well for us, because it's us, we are the doer, and the results belong to us. So we become very confident, very happy. But then we go on in illusion, because we're not in control, and we're not the enjoyer. So then, if Krishna actually desires our welfare, then these things will be taken away. Then in that state, when things are taken away, then we actually see things for what they are. Because when things are going well, we generally find that our faith in the material world is quite, you know, strong. Things are going nice, and we know, yes, this will work. You know, we go to the phone, we make a call, it works. You know, we get in a vehicle, it goes down the road. The roads work, the water works, the electricity works, everything works, right? So we're very confident, we're very happy. You know, we think we'll get so much done. And as I'm doing it, I'm together, and it's happening. Then we see that when it doesn't go well, then we become bewildered. So generally what happens is the same thing that happened in India. Is first we become angry. We have to find some reason for things not going right. And of course, the reason is never us. That's the first rule. Rule number one, we are not the cause of any of our distresses. Our disturbances in this world is always someone else. Must be, right? Because we are all we're okay. I'm okay. Maybe you're okay, but definitely I'm okay. Like that. So the living entity then, he is very confident. And then when things don't go right, he becomes angry, tries to find fault somewhere else, points the finger here, points the finger there. And as long as that is our attitude, then Krishna keeps pushing, until everything is taken away, and then we just have to become humble. We are defeated. So until that time, Krishna will keep pushing. Like that. And if we're fortunate, it comes in this lifetime. If not, then death comes, we'll be humbled by death. But otherwise, then we continue. In this way, we understand that something's wrong here. Then we become humble. Then in that humble state, then we can actually understand Krishna. That's the thing. Because Krishna, he has all opulence. Everything belongs to him. And he's not proud. He is not thinking, yes, I am so great, I'm God, yes, I'm so powerful. No. He is God. He's just naturally God. So his interest is the reciprocation of the devotees. So when we're proud, interaction is never good. We can see the quality of interaction between people is lessened when there's pride. Sometimes you have an atmosphere where many proud people get together and like to be in the atmosphere of proud people. You know, like special, they make special arrangements. You have a club that only very rich people can go there, so everybody there is proud. You know, so if some see that everybody there is present, then they feel comfortable. But if you see, if you actually observe the interaction, it's a very shallow quality. You know, the each just trying to impress each other and just trying to show that they were, you know, they're sitting in New York and they're sitting there saying at lunch with their friend, yes, I was, you know, speaking of the, you know, to the, you know, such and such, you know, the Count of Monte Carlo and that, oh yeah, so, and that this morning, you know, this week, you know, we were speaking to him and we caught the Concorde flight over and now we're taking lunch with you and then this evening we'll be meeting with somebody in England for dinner. So in this way they try to impress each other. And they're always trying to be better than this. So this, it's very shallow, not very good. So Krishna is not interested in such shallow interaction. He wants very deep interaction. As we see in this previous purport, Sridhar Swami points out that here Krishna is having a heart-to-heart conversation with Indra. Indra has revealed his mind that he became angry because of his pride, and now he surrenders to Krishna. He was actually trying to destroy the cowherd community just to chastise Krishna and Indra. And so now Krishna is also revealing his mind. Is why? Why do I do this? I do this because of I desire the welfare. We see that it doesn't have to be like this. Krishna is pointing out here. Cannot a man blind by intoxication with his power of opulence cannot see me nearby with the rod of punishment in my hand. That means beforehand Krishna says it nicely. He comes by, stands there, you know, clears his throat, you know, kind of like maybe taps the stick on the ground a little bit. But if we're too proud, we don't notice this. We just go on, you know, that we are controlling, we are doing very nicely. So we always, if after something like this happens to us, if we check back, right, because checking back the vision, hindsight is always 20-20, right? So then we can see that, yes, people were already saying these things to us. There were symptoms that something was wrong. But we don't take it because of our pride. So then eventually Krishna then means to do this chastisement. So this is the sign that Krishna has affection. He takes this has already been discussed very elaborately previously then in the story of Bali Maharaj. The Bali Maharaj was also very proud of his position. He had taken over the heavenly planets, right? And he did it by righteous means. He didn't do it by irreligious means. He properly worshipped his guru. He performed all the sacrifices properly. In this way he became powerful by that. And then he took over the planets from Indra. He's a king. He took over from Indra, who's the king. So there was nothing wrong. He didn't do something bad. So, but he was proud. Then Vamanadeva came, took everything away. So then he's in the same situation as Indra. So then Bali Maharaj points out that actually someone, that when Krishna does this, they're the most fortunate. Prabhupada points out this first point then Krishna says, then after Krishna speaks, it says, yes, this is true. But then even more the show of mercy is after someone has become so detached, then we see, then Krishna gives all opulence, but they are not attached to it. They don't become proud of it. So someone who has opulence and is not proud, is not attached, this is a higher sign of the Lord's mercy. This is a unique. So therefore we see that after this Bali Maharaj is there, he is given his position in Sitala is more opulent than Indra. He will be sitting on the throne of Indra in the next next cycle of Indra. And the Lord is his doorman. Right? The Lord's, everybody else is the Lord's doorman, but here for Bali Maharaj, Lord is his Lord. So such opulence no one has seen. Brahma does not have, Indra does not have, no one has. Right? You have God who's there. And not only that, he's not the doorman just at one door, he's the doorman at every door. That was the whole idea of Bali Maharaj. Is that in this palace I have to constantly move from one chamber to the next, one situation to the next, and I have to go through unlimited doors in this palace. So all the time I'm going through doors. So the one thing I always see are doors. So if the Lord becomes my doorman, then I'll always be seeing the Lord. Because every time he goes through the door, the Lord will be there. So the Lord had expanded with not just the one door, but all the doors of his whole palace. So then, such opulence was not seen. And he was not proud. He was very gentle, very, very properly behaved. So then, he had gotten the full mercy. We see, therefore, he is known as one of the Mahajans. Indra is not known. The position of Indra is not known as one of the Mahajans. So Indra surrendered here. But we see, he just surrendered, that he accepted the supremacy of the Lord. But we don't see him once ask for devotional service. So in this, he didn't become a Mahajan. So the devotee, then, we should become observant to see in our life what are the symptoms. Krishna tells us what is the process of devotional service. He tells us what is right, what is wrong. And then if we are doing what is right, then we're satisfied. And if we're not doing what's right, then there'll be anxiety. Even if everything is going nice, you know, or whatever our project is, it's going wonderfully. People are recognizing it. Support is coming in. There's well-wishers. It's expanding. People are coming to join. But if we're not satisfied, it means there must be something wrong. Right? If it's a matter of we're not satisfied because we want to see the whole world flooded with Krishna consciousness, that's another thing. But if there's anxiety, right? But it's not an anxiety that is due to the engagement of our nature in Krishna's service. Naturally, we're an anxiety that it will be done nicely for Krishna. But this is a disturbing anxiety. Then you're going to understand something must be wrong. Right? And Krishna's here. He's not saying that Indra was bad energy, therefore I came along and chastised him. Right? He's saying that he was blinded by his position. He was caught up in his position. He was attached to the fruits of his position. He was attached to the prestige of his position. So these things, then, you can see, will be a cause of anxiety. So that anxiety, then, is the first aspects of Krishna letting us know that something's wrong. Then we will get, maybe if we're fortunate, then Krishna will give us a situation in which others may, you know, make some suggestion. So either they're talking about something else, like someone else who has a similar problem. They may not be relating it to us. But Krishna gives us a hint. They say, yes, this devotee is having this problem because of this or that, or he's doing such nice service, but a little proud, or, you know, a little carried away, or too much attached, or, you know, it doesn't give enough space, or something. Then we might catch it. It's not directed at us. They're talking about something else, and they may not even have us in mind. Next, we will have people come and say, hey, this, that, or people will start talking about us, this, that. Then we can catch something. And then if not, then Krishna steps in, takes everything away, you know, and then makes it obvious what it is already, you know, being subtly projected before. Then here, because Krishna says, I drag him down, you know. So that means, because generally, someone doesn't go down easily, right? We go down and go scratching and biting, right? So that takes some dragging, right? It's not that Krishna just comes along and, my dear sir, you know, you are very proud. Oh, excuse me. Pardon me for this, you know, improper behavior, you know, like this. It's not, we go down difficult. So now, so here we see that this is what's going on, why it's going on. And so now we can try to be aware of it beforehand, which is best. You know, just be observant. What are we doing? What are the reactions of others? How do I feel?
Right? Am I satisfied? Manu mentioned... Manu mentions that in trying to understand what activities we should perform, then we should be performing activities that are based upon the scriptures, then that are based upon the acharyas, what they have, the previous acharyas, then what our own acharya has told us, and our own satisfaction. When we are properly following what we are given and we're satisfied, then we know we are rightly situated. Either we are rightly situated by the service we're doing is right, or the mentality is right. So what we're trying to get is both. The right service, the right mentality. But even if the service, so for emergency reasons, we may be even doing a service that's not ideal for our nature, if we're doing it to please Krishna, then we're satisfied. We'll be peaceful, though we would maybe prefer to do something else. So we have to observe this to see what is going on before something happens. Then the other is, if it happens, then what is our attitude? We have to remember whatever happens to us is due to us. It's not due to something else. If we're doing something wrong and Krishna drags us down, it's not that, he should have dragged someone else down, or why me, why not them? No, he'll get them also, don't worry. Krishna, can get everybody. We just have to worry about ourselves. This is an essential point. Much of the time we feel that unless the whole rest of the world is straightened out, then how I will be able to do things? Or, okay, I was dragged down, yes, Krishna did this because of my pride, this and that, but the people who did it, they were wrong. Right? Or maybe they were right in doing it, but how they did it was wrong. But that's not the point. Krishna's not, that's not, that doesn't come into the conversation. That's a different conversation. The first conversation is us. Do we want to advance in spiritual life? And if we do, then see what's wrong and then advance. Take it that Krishna is making us humble so that we will remember Krishna. So the Indra forgot Krishna. Therefore, then he dragged him down. If he was remembering, there's no need. For those who remember, then all opulence is there. Because Krishna is there, so opulence is there. And as Krishna likes a variety of tastes, that opulence may be manifest or not, but the person does not feel lacking. Right? The Goswamis are living under a tree with just their simple cloth. They don't feel poor. They feel rich. So opulence doesn't have to be externally manifested. Opulence is a state of being. You are opulent because you are properly situated in Krishna consciousness. That's the real opulence. So Krishna may, for his pastimes, manifest the opulence, may not. That's another thing. We don't have to worry. And we don't have to worry why Krishna, or how Krishna dragged us down and through who he dragged us down. That's Krishna's business. Otherwise, then what's the result? Then we'll become bitter because we're not in control. We are not going to be able to work it out and make it just. Or if we want to make it just, yes, Krishna will arrange for you. Krishna is very kind. The people who Krishna may have used to drag us down, if it was done in an improper way, those people are in that position because they want to be. They have a mentality to create problem. So because they want to create problem and you need to have a problem, Krishna puts the two of us together. We need a problem to be corrected. They want to create a problem. So very ideal. So Krishna puts it together. Now, if we want to get out of here, we don't worry about them. We don't worry about that they were wrong. No, we were wrong. Otherwise, Krishna wouldn't have arranged it. But now, if we feel, no, they've wronged me, I want justice. Yes, but the person, because they've wanted to create something wrong, they've been engaged, they did something wrong, they need to be corrected also. So you can wait around however long it takes until Krishna wants to correct them. This lifetime, next lifetime, whatever lifetime, you can be the one, the chosen one to correct them. Yes, if you want justice, Krishna will arrange it. If you want to go back to Godhead, that's a different topic. Very different thing. Right? So this is important. We always have to separate our own spiritual advancement from trying to work out, you know, all the problems of the universe, right? It's a common thing, right? The brahmacharis sit around on the veranda, you know, at evening, you know, after prasad, 10 o'clock at night, you know, and then they discuss all the issues and problems of the universe, and they work it all out, right? And then they very happily take rest for the night, you know? But that's another thing. Then there's Krishna consciousness, right? So Krishna conscious means we ourselves become conscious. And when we're conscious, then we will advance. And when we're conscious, then we can take the position to make others conscious. But Krishna is here is pointing out, first you become conscious. Right? First you remember. Because if you're going to work out the problems of the whole universe, that's a very powerful position. Right? Very influential position. So, are we qualified to take that position? Right? So then, we may think, well, maybe not. Maybe I'm a little proud. So then, therefore, don't worry about solving the problems of the universe. Worry about our own problems. Our own Krishna consciousness. Our own service, doing it properly for Krishna. You know, if our service is working out the problems of the universe, yes, then that's your duty. But if it's not, then you stick to whatever you're doing, your pots, your books, you know, your driving, your whatever it is. Like that. Then we'll be happy. Any questions or comments or something? Yes. If you're dissatisfied due to okay. Question is, if we're dissatisfied in our service to our spiritual master, so this dissatisfaction we're talking about means, well, there's two aspects. One is that the service itself, somehow or another, we're not able to understand or relate to. So now we should approach that. Is how do we understand? Because basically the living entity in the material world is only really satisfied with one service, being the center of all attention and sense gratification. Right? So then, if we don't have that, we may be dissatisfied. So we have to be able to distinguish between dissatisfaction. That the activity, okay, it's basically, what is it? Means either
we have a few options. You're either leading or following. So we can't lead. If it's not our nature to lead, take the difficulties of leading the responsible, and then we follow. So then that puts us into a position. Then we're either going to be, in that leading position, training others or administrating for others or creating the economic development for others, or just in our day-to-day service, we're just in charge to see that someone else is doing basically the same thing we're doing. Or then we're assisting people who are doing that. It's a simple thing. There is no thing that will ignorance. We are so opulently ignorant that sometimes Krishna has to push like that. So we want Krishna, then that anxiety we don't have to worry about. The anxiety of being able to properly serve the spiritual master, that will generally always be there until we basically come to the transcendental position, is that whatever, it's never enough. What the spiritual master is given is never enough. So whatever we're doing is not enough. Even if we're following the order externally, then there's the attitude in which we're following the order. Then there's the quality in which we are doing like that. So first we have the quantity of it, then we have the quality of it. So that will always be there. But that anxiety gives us inspiration. Right? If our anxiety, then we don't want to work, we give up, then that's ignorance. If the anxiety is creating a dynamic, we want to do something, but it is, there's some ego involved, that's passion. But if it is because we're supposed to do it, our duty, that's goodness. Right? Then, because it pleases the spiritual master, it pleases Krishna, then that's pure goodness. So the anxiety is, in this way, it's not bad. We were talking before about the anxiety knowing compassion and ignorance. That's ignorance. It's ignorance of Krishna's position and his position, his passion to enjoy that position. So that anxiety is what was the problem. But generally we have a tendency in ignorance and passion not to notice. Ignorance means we don't notice. Passion, we become blind. Like that. So in both cases we're blinded. Goodness is illuminating. Then we're able to actually observe the good, the anxiety. And then we try to improve.
Under the protection of the emperor, who is Duryodhana.
So therefore, they have to support him. They're his ally. What he does, they have to support, for good, for better or worse. So all these things were creating a confusion. So therefore, they didn't know what to do. Of course, by keeping that association with Duryodhana, that will cause contamination, like we see Akrura. Though he was a pure devotee of the Lord, because of his association, then therefore he became slightly bewildered, and therefore didn't know properly how to act. He became attached to things and acted in ways that were not proper. So in the same way, we see, because of the association of Dhritarashtra and Karna, Shakuni, and Duryodhana, then out of duty they have to work with them, so therefore they're becoming polluted. So then that's because of their... They then more properly Krishna conscious, so they can go beyond these duties. So they're devotees who can't behave. But whatever, it's the Lord's arrangement to create the pastime. It's said that if a chaste woman is insulted, then that whole dynasty of the person who has insulted them disappears as if by magic. It just evaporates. It's not that, it just... Duryodhana is told to all his brothers, all their allies, everything disappeared, right? Just as if in 18 days they were gone. Just disappeared. Nothing left. Not even one person to sit on the throne. No, there was no dynasty. The line coming down to Dhritarashtra did not exist. It just disappeared because they had insulted Duryodhana. So by this arrangement, if he wants to destroy all the demoniac kings, because Duryodhana is a demon, then naturally the demons will support him. So all he has to do is insult one properly chaste woman, and everybody will disappear. So it's a very clever way of doing it. Clever way of ridding the earth of all these demons. Like you can see, Ravana insulted one chaste woman. So him and all the demons, they all disappear. So we also have to see the Lord's plan. Because in that, she was protected. She was protected. In the most amazing way. So we have to see what is our position, what's the situation, and in this way then see how we can try to correct the situation. But correcting this situation, we say it's an improper situation. If, then we don't correct it by an improper situation. Right? Dharma is nourished by dharma, not by adharma. You can't establish dharma by adharma. You can't establish bhakti by adharma. Right? Even highest dharma you cannot establish bhakti. Bhakti is established by bhakti. Dharma is by dharma. So, in religion, the end does not justify the means, because the means gets to an end. Right? If the means and the end don't match, means by the means you use, you won't get that end. Right? And we see in history, anyone who's used a bad means for a so-called idealistic end never got that idealistic end. That never happened in history. It means a means gives you a result. So, whatever is your goal, you have to follow a process that would make it just like if somebody's dealing roughly with another person, then you must deal in such a way that will educate that person to get rid of their roughness. Otherwise, if you simply behave rough, then that person will feel why you behave rough with me. Okay? We'll say, of course, because you were behaving roughly. But if you look at it in the context of this verse, it's a weakness that everybody doesn't see their own fault. Just someone behaved rough with me. You don't look at that I did something wrong. Why they did like this? Okay, I did something wrong, they could have come to me nicely and told me. Right? Of course. We don't notice that they did tell us nicely and we have to listen. So therefore, they have to deal more strongly. Right? So in the same way as the person we're going to deal with strongly, he's going to think the same way. Why didn't they tell me nicely? Yeah. So these are things to consider. We have to actually see what will get the result. Okay? Roughness doesn't give, unless it's, we see the king thereof, but only in certain situations. The person is, has done wrong, and he's punished, not in any way, but according to a particular way. Okay? And that way is set by the Lord. So only in that situation, like the kings we see, which are very gentle, is considered the innovative, dear Prashanta, right? Very peaceful, very properly behaved person. Very, doesn't become agitated. It's like a Brahmin. Karna wouldn't even fight with Yudhishthira. Because he said he's a Brahmin, he's not a Kshatriya. He's too peaceful. You know, Kshatriya is some passion there, some chivalry. Yudhishthira is too peaceful, he's a Brahmin. He's not a Kshatriya. Bhima, okay, Arjuna, they're Kshatriya. But a Yudhishthira, no. Okay, but he is. That is a Kshatriya. He's the perfect Kshatriya. So you don't see this martial always showing. What he needs to be, then yes, he's there on the battlefield. He didn't shy away from the battlefield when there's no other option. But according to the religious codes, why fight when you can do, we can take care of it by peaceful means? If by peaceful means you can avoid the fight, why fight? So therefore, he's the proper Kshatriya. He's not the, any problem, let's fight. So that's the thing, is we have to see what way to do it. So the problem is that takes self-control, that takes training, that takes maturity, that takes Krishna consciousness. So then that's the limit there, is that we can take care of it in our natural, you know, whatever way it is. We're by nature pious, naturally we're going to take care of pious. But if we're not in these very difficult situations, then we see that, you know, whatever is our natural inherent nature, that pops up, right? You go down to the bathing dock where people bathe, right? And when you get there, all the boats are there, right? They're not supposed to be there. They're supposed to be down. People bathe here. But the boatman decides they're going to be here. So you ask them, you please move over, like that. If there's plenty of space to take that, then you point out to them, listen, this is the bathing dock for people. And they go, you know, what's your problem? And then the next thing you go over there and push all the boats out of the way. Okay? So that's one way of doing it. You know, when you scratch, you know, then you find out underneath actually is a ledge. Okay, you take the ledge and put on a tilak, put on a dhoti, put a seat on it, but still, by culture, ledge. Although you can go there and they say, no, 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 this isn't God. Very pleasantly, you know, either persuade them or go somewhere else, or just gently move them out of the way. They'll say, no, 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 if you do it gently, they won't care. But when you come there and this, that, yell, scream, push the boat, then they get upset. So we have to see what will be the result. So we'll end here. Jai Prabhupada ki, Jai Prabhupada ki, Jai Prabhupada ki, Jai Prabhupada ki.